Hey there, this is Pastor Kyle Horton, and you're listening to the Three Rivers Wesleyan Church podcast. You matter to God, and you matter to us. Our prayer for you today as you listen to God's word is that He would use it to encourage you as you love and follow Jesus.
Those of you who are spiritual restored in gentleness, that's a we thing, right? That's like, hey, we're going to do it together. There's the we thing of let's bear one another's burdens, right? We don't have to explain what that means, right? We're there for each other. We care each other. There's seasons when we desperately need that, right? Let us not grow weary of doing good. I love the key word in there is us, right? It is, it's a message to the church, to all of us, to something we do together. We do not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, what's the word again? We will reap and we will not give up, right? There's this communal element to this. And as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone. And yet there's also this individual element. Watch yourself lest you also be tempted. Let each one test his own work. Let each one bear his own load. There's certainly some individuality in the sentiment of what you sow, you reap, right? If you sow into your flesh, you reap corruption. If we back to our teaching in Galatians 5, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh, right? Together, and yet each one of us has the blessing and the responsibility of our individual relationship with the Father. And I love that this is just kind of a snapshot of a church 2,000 years ago, not unlike ours today, a group of individuals that's practicing their faith, right? That's a church. We are here because we believe in the resurrection. We're in our Easter season. We're celebrating what Christ has done in us. And we exist here together because we believe God has invited us to be a part of not just the church, but this church. So many of you come every week because this is your church. I love that last big verse that we shared. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. That's us dancing and being good, I guess. So I want to share today about kind of where we are and what we do and where we'll be going, and hopefully some good reminders, maybe some new things for you. We're going to use the analogy of a road trip today. Anyone had taken a good road trip yet this year? Some of you guys were just driving to South Carolina and back from Florida, and we've had some spring break trips. I love a road trip. It is one of the times that Nadine and I always have great conversations. I got to take a lot of road trips when I was a teenager and in college, driving all over the country. There's something just really fun about hitting the road and going, right? And so we're going to use that as our analogy today to talk about three things. We'll put the next slide up there. We're going to talk about our journey, right? So we're going to spend some time talking about who we are and where we're going, the sites we've seen, who we are as a church. We're going to spend some time talking about our road trip essentials. I don't know about you. When we go on a road trip, there's some must-haves. You got to have some podcasts. You got to have some good playlists. Some used to be mixtapes, right? But now it's just all on the phone. For us, there's a certain thing that is car snacks. Do you guys have regular car snacks? Ours, we must have peanut M&Ms. We must have Swedish fish. I really like wintergreen mints for when I'm sleepy, and so I can pop a mint and keep going. And for some reason, the garbage food of pizza combos. Never eat them any other time, but we eat them on road trips for some reason. So and you got to have gas and tires and make sure your brakes are good, right? There's things you need for a road trip. We're going to talk about some of our essentials for our function as a church. And then lastly, we're going to talk about some new territory. We're going to share a couple of things that are coming up in this year that I think you'll be excited about. And it's kind of the direction that we are hoping to go here. So firstly, our journey. Some of this will be new. Some of this you'll heard before, but it's good to hear. Our mission here at Three Rivers Wesleyan Church, we'll throw it up on the slides. Our mission statement, and we've said this for years, we are people helping people discover Christ. Right? At its core, we don't just come to church because it makes us feel good or we have a responsibility to worship. Like there's an intrinsic belief that's linked with Christianity that if we're here and we're worshiping and we believe, That we exist to serve those who are not here yet, those who are far from Christ, those who are just adrift from relationship with the church, right? So much of what we do is organized around this idea of helping people, and we hope helping people discover Christ, right? It's why we do what we do. I'm going to go fast today. What we do, if someone asks me, well, what does your church do? I usually share these five things. I say we worship, we do discipleship, we do kids, youth, and we serve the community. We've been organized around the idea of simplicity for a long time, right? And so we don't do a ton of extra stuff, but primarily the idea that if Christ has called us to love our neighbors, we got to have time to serve them, right? And so we try to do a few things and try to do them really well. I'm going to talk a little bit about each one of those and kind of just kind of celebrate where we've been and to look forward and share some new things as well. So we worship. Now, apparently, this is an aside, okay? We as a church do not do great taking photos, okay? So if you're doing stuff here and it's fun and your life group's in worship, now, not everybody every Sunday, right? But if you see something that takes a good picture, would you do this for me? Would you take one and text it to me? Would you nod your head? I had such a hard time finding good photos for this year. And Shay and Ryan took up some, anything that's good, they probably took because they've got the professional skills. But you are welcome to take more photos just for fun. So, but we baptized this year. That's so good, right? Worship this year has been interesting. When I think about kind of where we are in the story of our church, we took a big dip at the pandemic, like everybody else, in attendance and guests and everything. And this year, attendance has been back up. We're up over 100 regularly. We've baptized this year. We've seen new people connected to the church, like a dozen new families this year. It's been really, really cool. Some of you are here today, and we're so glad that you're here because there's room for you. This has been a year where you look around and you go, yes, it feels like we're doing the things that we need to do. And so I'm really thankful for it. And as we think about what this next year holds, we hope that that will continue, that we'll continue to see people connect with Three Rivers, and we continue to be people who are ready to receive them, right? At Easter, we teased and joked and asked explicitly a little bit. We said, hey, could you sit in the front and in the middle and leave some room for a guest? This is still a challenge, right? We think about our guests and maybe in where we park in the parking lot and maybe how we're conducting our conversation, and maybe just even noticing someone new on a Sunday and taking a few minutes to introduce yourself. And I don't think I've met you yet. You know, worship grows with our investment, right? We're also a church who disciples, and we do discipleship. We did a better job with pictures of this one. At least the senior ministry did. I just had to find an excuse to get this picture of Jim in a sombrero and a margarita up on the screen. So the rest of you life groups, take more pictures. But this has been a good year to see our life groups really shine. We've had the senior ministry has been running and cooking and has had good attendance every month. And Holly Belts has been leading that in a new way this year. And we've appreciated her leadership. We've had some new kind of felt need groups that have had a good response. We had a great financial peace in the fall. We have a wonderful grief share going right now with Bev. We've had a wonderful revival of the moms group this year, and seen some weeks where there's 8 to 13 moms meeting on Monday night, just kind of supporting each other and caring for one another. There's other life groups that have been going on, and it's been a good thing. We continue to try to be a church that creates opportunities for discipleship. Some of the ways that you can help in this area, if there's something that you'd be interested in teaching or leading, we'd love to connect with you and connect with Nathan, who coordinates a lot of our life groups, and get some more going. We've also periodically talked about our discipleship bands, which are the 2 to 3 people in a group kind of sharing weekly in scripture and out of the personal prayers of their life. And we will hear more about that this summer as we're going to try to get some more of those launched. We're a church who cares about kids, and so that shows up in youth group and kids ministry. This is, you guys might get to see the impossible shot here someday, but it's a fun game they do with the kids every week time they meet. And I want to give a big shout out to Carnell. Will you stand up and give us a wave in the back there? Carnell's been our youth leader all year. He really jumped in. And, you know, after Kalina left, and Carnell's one of the guys who've been on that team and has done a great job. There are 25 kids on our youth roster. We don't see them all the time, right? They don't always make it. And you know how teens are. They don't always make it. And some of the kids don't attend here, but they're coming for youth group. And they've had 13, 15, a decent group of kids throughout the year this year. And Carnell, he did not go to school for that or anything like that. He's just a guy who loved the kids and was willing to step up this year and lead. And we really, really appreciate him. And so thank you to Carnell. Thank you to the rest of the youth team. It's an awesome group of adults that also work with those kids. And it's a place where we're going to continue to invest and build our kids' ministry. Now, Sarah sent me a lot of pictures. Are you surprised? I'm not. So our kids' ministry continues to grow. What a year for the kids. They're averaging 30 kids a week back there, which is wild, right? On a week when maybe we have 100 people, that's about a third of our church is children, which, praise the Lord, right? So many churches have a hard time having any kids, right? And it's just, you know you're unhealthy when there's not kids in your church. So remember that when they're, you know, streaking by you in a blur, right? They're a blessing. It's our honor and our privilege to be a church that serves children. And we know there's so many studies out there that kids that make a decision for Christ before they turn 18, in their child years and their teenage years, those commitments to Christ stick. And they stick for a long time. So they have about 30 kids a week. They've had about 50 kids as regular attenders for our church. And we continue to have opportunities to reach new children. Cabin Fever, we had about 500 kids here. Art Camp, we'll have about 100 kids here. And we continue to be a place that's able to connect with new children and families. It takes a lot of work, right? Every week there's like 9-10 adults in the back with those kids, right? It takes a lot of adults to wrangle 30 kids every week, right? There's about 31 volunteers who are on that team. And it's an opportunity. It's a place where you could connect and you could serve. This summer, we're hoping to send a couple dozen kids and teens to youth camp, and it's something that we hope we'll be able to do with your help. We also serve the community, right? This is the You Matter realm of our church. We do toy shop at Christmas. We serve at Price Elementary. We do art camp. We try to do things like Cabin Fever. We try to get out into the community, and our small groups have served in different ways. And many of you take this at a personal level and serve with charities that you care about and that you're invested in. We want to be a church who says, you know, we use our gifts to serve the community. Well, that's our journey, right? Now here's my thought with the road trip on this. So much of kind of where we are, those core tenets, our mission and the things that we do, right? I think we're on the right path. Would you agree? I think we're doing the things that God has invited us to do. And so when I think about the vision of our church and where we want to drive the car, there's no woo necessary, right? Like there's no like U-turns or like hard rights. Like so many of these things are, you know, they have moments when they're exciting and they have moments where they're just like, yeah, it's what we do, right? But they matter. They matter. So thank you for your service and your investment and your presence in these things. Without them, we don't have a church, right? I hope that you see this place as yours. I hope that you're eager to invite people to join you. I hope that this is a place where you found the Spirit of God in a community. Well, let's talk some road trip essentials. I don't know what the road ship is, but I would like to travel upon it. What are the things, the conditions that we need to continue to move forward? I put four words on a slide here. Attend, build, serve, invest. They're all great words. I could talk a lot about all of them. I won't. How about this? I think so much of church, your church experience is what you make it, right? Now, you could come late and leave early and never have a meaningful conversation with someone. because you've not been willing to share of yourself, right? You could attend here for years and never develop a friendship outside of the people you come with if you choose to, right? You could never give, invest, or serve, and you'll only be so connected to this place. Or you could dig in, right? When people ask me, how do I get involved in church? The first thing I always say is, like, literally just come every week. Come and be available to meet people and see how God would lead you to form some relationships. And it's underrated. But, hey, you know, and we all have stuff we have to do. But when you can, come and be here. Help us build this in a place that other people want to come and get connected. Invest in it. Find a place to serve and plug in. We'll talk a few more about some of those things, but I always think about this. When you drive around Fort Wayne and you see some of the old churches, right? Our city's got a lot of churches. You'll notice on so many of the churches in the corner, there's often a cornerstone with a date, and a lot of times on that cornerstone and that date, there's some founder names. You ever notice this? Look, next time you're going by like a really old church and you're walking or you can, stop and look and see if you can find these things. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, if you wanted a church, the people got together and they literally built it, right? They built the church. Like the masons and the carpenters, the plumbers and the electricians, they would build the church. And it's not any different today. The church we have is the church we deserve. The church we have is the church that we get. The church we have is the church that we build. And it's something we do together. How do we build? I want to give you a few things just to highlight that this is what we're doing today, right? We don't talk enough about circles. We should talk about it more. But we really do believe this, that every single one of us has people in our lives, we call it our circles, that God has intentionally and supernaturally placed in their life. And so I'm going to ring that bell again today. Who are the people in your life, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, people you see regularly that you know, man, I wonder how different their life would be if God could get a hold of their heart. I wonder how different their life could be if they could become a part of a church community where they're loved and known, right? We live in this culture right now. It is so lonely, isn't it? It is so anonymous. It is so easy to hide when we are experiencing deep pain and loneliness. It's broken in so many ways. Is church a cure-all? Absolutely not. But is this a place where people can find real community and find the Spirit of God? Yes, I believe that. And the thing about circles is if God's put someone in your life that you have a relationship with, you're the better connector than me, right? We know this. Maybe you're the person who's going to be the connection point for them to know the Lord. And so do you know who those people are? When we train on circles, we talk about we list them, we pray for them daily, and we invite them and try to connect them. This is a practice that I hope everyone in our church participates in. Another road trip essential. Like, church doesn't grow without your investment in the people that God has put in your life. Another way, another essential is our service. Let me say this. Our church has a tremendous service rate. It's something like 75 or 80% of you serve in ministry, which is really, really, really good. And so I'm not going to harp on this because you guys are serving and we love it and you're so good and so many of you guys are using your gifts, right? This is a great time of year, though, to maybe think about where I would like to serve or to change up your opportunity. Sarah DeMond is also serves as our volunteer coordinator, and she or myself, either one of us, would be happy to have a conversation with you about where you fit and where you could serve. There's so many teams: worship, AV, grounds, maintenance, serving at Price, events team, finance, kidsmen, hospitality, nursery, cafe, discipleship, ushers, youth men. Literally throw a dart, and there's something cool where you could use your gifts. Another road trip essential, the gas for the car maybe, would be our financial investment in this place. I want to share two sets of numbers with you. Part of the reason we do this now is that the end of April, beginning of May is our church year. So new board, new budget, this is our new year's in our church business cycle. So let me share our budget this year and our kind of our giving here as we close out the 23-24 year. Over the last 12 months, we have raised 97% of our budget, which is pretty good. Thank you guys so much for your regular and faithful giving. We have 2 weeks today and next week left, and we're only about $5,400 short on our budget year. And so that's good. That means we set a good target. That means we have just about met our target. And I can't thank you enough for your investment in this place. It literally doesn't happen without it, right? I will challenge you here. If you're a part of this church and this is a place where you are attending, investing, and building, if you don't give at all in the offering because you feel like other people have it covered, I would encourage you to start giving, okay? It's a good thing to do. If you're giving sporadically, I'd challenge you to regular percentile giving. It's a place to invest and a place to trust God. Probably about 40% of the families in our church tithe. That means we give 10% of our income to the Lord. For Nadine and I, it's been a place where we've been able to trust God for years. And for us, it's just really simple. It's everything, literally everything we have is given to us from the hand of God. And so we give first. If you'd like to talk with me more about that, I'd be happy to have a conversation with you or Rich would. But man, it's a place to invest. And it's a place where as you invest, it enables us to continue to build the church. I want to share another budget with you that we have every year, and that's our missions budget. So this year, we have raised 92% of our missions target. Our missions target I wrote that wrong. We've raised 100% of our missions budget. My bad. Fill in the rest of that pie chart in your head, will you? That's the fever yesterday, okay? We had 7,800 out of our 7,200 budget given. So here's the cool thing. We do our budget as we say we're going to make a monthly commitment. So when the missions budget grows, we're able to add more partners to support in missions. Does this make sense? So currently, we'll throw that next slide up. Again, fill in the pie chart in your head, please. Currently, here's who we support. We support the Lighthouse that does drug rehab here locally in town. We support Price Elementary. We support Destiny Rescue and Jason Tash, their CEO, will be here to share with us on May 19th. That's our next missions offering. So put that on your calendars. And then we support the global missionaries. We just had George here just recently, and they shared about their new calling to be serving the Islamic population in Germany and the folks in Cambodia, the Ramdans as well. So as we're able, thank you for your missions giving, as we're able to continue to do that and invest that, that's something I would love to see us grow. The other thing I want to point out about missions, in the back by the cafe, there's some posters on the wall that start to talk about our mission stuff. That's going to be our new missions area this year. And so get in the habit of going and checking out to see what is there. We'll be sharing updates and opportunities to get connected with missions. Let's talk about some new territory. Two things I want to share with you. We think about what the road trip is that we're on here. The first one is kind of a fun announcement about our building of our team here. Everyone knows Nathan. Nathan, give us a wave. There's Nathan. And a half-hearted clap for Nathan. actually, Nathan, come on up here for a little bit. Welcome, Nathan. So Nathan's been with us for the last 2 years, and he's been interning with us. They've been here for like 4 or 5 years attending, and we've kind of been on our staff team for the last couple of years. And he's been finishing his Bible degree. And Nathan finished, and you graduate next week?
Next Saturday.
So Nathan's going to graduate. We're really excited. And so working with this man over the last couple of years, I and the staff, the board, we believe Nathan has a calling on his life, that God has called him into pastoral ministry. And I think if you've gotten to know Nathan, maybe you see that part of his heart as well. And so this spring, and it starts here in May 1st, we offered Nathan a more substantial kind of part-time job that is it's a ministry track that basically as soon as he's ordained, we'll get to call him pastor. But it's a pastoral job. And so we want to welcome Nathan. Nathan here soon. He's going to be our new, he's going to pick up the baton from Mr. Carnell Young and serve as our youth director here coming up for the next couple of years, we hope at least. And it's exciting news. And it's going to be a good thing, I think. Nathan's also going to be serving with some worship direction. So you guys know if you go back a long way, since Anderson left, we've been leading with volunteers. And so that's been Nathan has been one of those. Angie is one of our volunteer worship leaders. Jan is one of our volunteer worship leaders. Sarah is one of our volunteer worship leaders. And then Michael Morgan. And so that's worked really well for a long time. We've been able to sit around that table and lead together. And then here recently, we've just been sensing that as wonderful as that is, having someone who has the responsibility for worship would also be helpful, in fact, to all of those leaders as well. And so you'll continue to see our worship leaders leading in some rotations like that. But basically, Nathan gets all the grunt work now, and it's the responsibility of leading that ministry. So Nathan, we're really excited that you and your family are here. We love you guys, and I am so excited that you're going to have a greater role here at Three Rivers. So guys, welcome Nathan, and we're excited to continue to build that. The budget we set for this next year is right about the same mark as where we have been, but what we're able to move some things around and make that happen. We're really excited about it. So I want to share something else, and that one we're doing. This one we might do. Depends on how you guys respond. And so I want to talk about, keeping with our theme, we're going to talk about a new road, building some new roads. And so I want to tell you a story. Let's look at a map of our church here from the air. This is crazy technology called Google Maps. I don't know if you've seen it. All right, so down here where the big red thing is, that's our church, right? We're sitting in that building where the dot is in our parking lot and our barn back behind us. Up on the corner of Hillgas and Butler with the white roof, that's the Marathon, right? And then across the street is Animal Care and Control. And so you can go to the next map, Carnell. About 10 years ago, we bought the lot highlighted in green. It connects our property in the back, kind of behind the egg hunt field where we were, to Butler Road. Now, we bought this basically because we started looking and we had the opportunity, and it seemed like a thing, buy it when you can. And why, though? Well, we thought for a while that it would be really, really helpful to possibly have a second entrance to our property, right? How many of you guys have ever sat for a long time turning left out of this property? A long time. If you catch it in rush hour, you can sit there for 5 or 6 minutes. Maybe even more. How many of you guys have come from the north and pulling in here? You've kind of waited for traffic and been, I hope no one hits me in the butt. I hope no one hits me in the butt. I hope no one hits me in the butt. There is enough room, but like everybody in Fort Wayne drives like looking at their phone now. Like literally, it's not great. So we bought this thinking that hopefully at some point we might be able to put a second egress, with the thought that we'd be able to exit or enter out to Butler Road, and then you can go to the light and turn safely. Butler Road is much less busy than Hillgas, and it is a place where there, again, the stoplight helps you make a safe left or take a left out of there to get to, you know, all points southwest and northwest of Allen County. Now, there's some serious non-Sunday impacts as well. You guys know we rent this building over here to Possibilities Northeast, and they have families, and they're dropping off their littles during rush hour in the morning and the afternoon with those same kind of concerns with safety and with kids in the car. NeighborLink is using our building. The Scouts use our building. The Election uses our building. And we've for a long time have said we want our buildings to not sit empty during the week. We want to use them. We want to use them all week long. So this has an eye towards now in our current use, but also an eye towards the future in being able to use and develop this property even more than we do right now. It opens opportunities for safety and use as we continue to grow. Now, the board has been talking about this for years. They've investigated this year, and they've gotten bids, and they think that now, and I agree, I think this might be the time where we could get this done. I don't know if you guys know this, but pretty soon here out on Hillegas Road, they're going to start construction, and from State to Coliseum, they're turning Hillegas into 5 lanes, 2 on each side and a lane in the middle. We don't know how exactly that will impact directly in front of our property, but the kind of construction that was on Bass Road for the last decade, we're going to have out here. We'd like to have another way to get in and out of our property during that. We think it might be really, really helpful. And so with that and the idea that construction costs tend to continue to rise, we'd like to take a shot at it. The bid we got to do a double lane paved driveway, that's not the exact path. That's what I could cartoonally draw this week. But crossing a large ditch that requires a culvert is about $101,000. It's a big project. Here's the cool news. $50,000, the board thinks we're going to be able to pull from our savings towards this project. We have had property that we sold like a decade ago that's money that can only be used towards a real physical development, and this is a physical development that would add value to our property. Additionally to that 50, we've already had $16,000 donated. P&E donated $9,000 because they wanted to invest in this property. They're long-term partners with us. And a couple of excited board members also donated some money because they're really excited about the project. So where that leaves us is basically $35,000, which is not a tremendous amount of money, but it's still a big chunk, right? And so this is what we're going to do. Next week, we'll share more about this. And we're going to do 2 months where we do a pledge campaign. And we're going to ask you to say, is this something you would like to contribute to? Is this something that you'd like to give towards? So a pledge would be, I could give X amount of dollars over the next year. And if we can get to $35,000 of pledge money, we will begin construction. So that's where that stands. We think it would be a great time to build. But we also want to be, careful. We want to be respectful. And we want to see if their desire is there in the congregation for this to happen. So you'll hear more about this. We're going to pledge our family. It's something I think could be really awesome to get done. And again, when I think about the safety and the possibilities of more use of this property, I get really excited about it. So those are the two new things that we're looking at this year in new territory. I want to end it here, though. I've got one more slide. There's a part of me that every time we do one of these, there's a part of me that's like I hate the State of the Union address. All right, like this is all the things we're not going to do, says the president every year. You know, and there's a huge part of me that's like, do we have to talk about this stuff? Like it seems so basic. We come, we worship, we're the church together, and yeah, we do, you know. But then there's this other part about vision that, there's this kind of like idea I think that kind of creeps in from business culture, especially business culture of the 20th century. Like your pastor goes up to the mountain and gets some tablets and comes back and is like, this is where we're going to go. And like, I don't know. And that's what I hate about this. I don't know what this year will hold. And so I'm leading us forward, and I wanted to end with this, with some open-handedness and an invitation to you. So much of what this year holds, it will happen in your conversations with one another. It will happen in your relationships. It will happen in your small groups. It will happen back in kids ministry. It will happen on your serve teams. It will happen in your circles. It will happen in conversations where you get to talk about your faith with people that have never been through this door. I don't know who will get connected. I don't know who will baptize. I don't know who will see the Spirit of God renew and transform their lives. But I do believe that our church has a role to play, a niche, a job that God would have us do in this next year. And I want to be a part of it, and I hope that you do too. I love the parting words from Paul in Galatians 6. Don't let us not grow weary of doing good. In due season we'll reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. So much of church life is just trusting in God and doing the basic things that He has invited us to do, right? To love our neighbors, to share Christ, to serve and invest in the body that God has made us a part of. And it's been a fun year in many regards, and I'm really looking forward to what this next year holds. I hope you are too. Will you stand with me as we end our service? I'm gonna pray for us, and I'll ask you this: if you identify with some of what we talked about, this is your church. Actually, just put your hands out in kind of a posture of receiving. We're gonna pray together, and I just ask you to make these prayers your own this morning. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the church that you have knit together here at Three Rivers. I am so thankful for these people, for this body, for the opportunity to lead here, for the investment that is seen all over this church in our service, in our presence, in our relationships. God, do we get everything right? Absolutely not. Lord, I pray over this next year. May a spirit of graciousness and kindness and love pervade among our relationships. Lord, keep us from gossip. Keep us from being ornery, Lord. Help us to love one another and serve each other well. Lord, I pray for this coming year, Lord, that we would find opportunities, each one of us, to continue to make this our church, to invest, to serve, to find our place and our footing. God, will you knit us together, build our relationships? God, give us a heart for those who are not here yet. Lord, give us a heart for your kingdom. Lord, may we leave every Sunday with eyes and feet and hands to go and serve our neighbors. Lord, help us to notice our neighbors and see where we might be used out there in our neighborhoods. Lord, send us from this place with your spirit in our heart. Be with us this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.